This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Opening half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. And great to be with you in the Sunbury Motors studio today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Neil Coulong today on the show. Matt is in Wildwood right now complaining to the residents there about living conditions, the fact that the Eagles are playing in Brazil. His kids are wearing, I saw, like Jalen Hurts jerseys. I don't think he understands the team is actually moving to Brazil.
I just imagine there's Matt on a towel with a bunch of seagulls surrounding him and him ranting and raving while the kids are building a sandcastle.
To be honest with you, I believe it's vultures, buzzards, whatever it may be. Perfect. Yeah. There you go. So he's not with us today. He's enjoying the sun and fun of Wildwood. It's a concern that the kids have no idea they're at the beach. All right, so...
what? He did let him look out the sliding glass window at the ocean last night.
Yeah, I saw the picture. I was like, okay. They're all looking out like, well, how come we're not down there? How come we're being forced to stay up here?
There's Eagles preseason work to be done, boys.
Eagles preseason work. Goodness gracious. Yeah. So... he's not here today. Live for Life is going to take place on Thursday to benefit the rare disease community. And the Penn State football players, they're the ones that organize the whole thing. I mean, they have their own officers, and it's their baby all the way through. They do a great job with it. And they will be out there one more time doing it. It's going to be inside Haluba Hall again, which is great. And James Franklin's going to meet with the media actually before it starts, which is good. So you get just an update on the team and where they are, at least at this point. You know, I talked yesterday about, you know, how things are so different now. Just in a year, how different they are. Name, image, and likeness was there for the past couple of years. Transfer portal last couple of years. But now you have the idea that athletic departments are going to have to somehow find $22 million. So it's going to put a lot more economic pressure on athletic departments across the country to get this done. And the... and so you have that component. How do you divide up the money at that component? And in a Big Ten that now has four new schools, three of which Penn State will play in football. for all four, they'll play in basketball. So it's just in a year, a whole new world. Just in a year. The last 3 years, totally different story. As to how this plays out.
We did get here very, very fast, didn't we?
Well, we got here fast because they kicked the can down the road so much that all of the trials came to head at once. I mean, that's what's happened here, Todd. And the NCAA's lack of action or trying to Band-Aid problems. And I'll give you an example. What's a Band-Aid? Well, a Band-Aid is cost of attendance. Cost of attendance was a Band-Aid. All right, see, you're getting some money now. You're getting some money. No, you're not getting a lot of money, but you're getting money. Spending money, like the old days. Remember having Jim Delaney on here, and Jim Delaney was talking about the days when they got laundry money. Okay? And it was like $15 a month, or I don't know what it was. Maybe 15 a week. It was 15 a week. I don't know what. Can't remember which one it was. And and this is and that's band-aiding. All right, we'll do cost of attendance. And I remember when cost of attendance came up, all the complaints I got were like, oh, I don't know, how are we going to find $3 to $4 million to do this? And, right? That's right. That's what I was told. Now imagine having to come up with 22. But everything's happened fast because court cases. And Jeffrey Kessler is the key to all of it. That's why when I had Jim Delaney on the show before you got here, Todd, I had him on the show. Jim, I think, did the show like four times. Jim was great about it. Yeah, at some point I'll ask Tony Petitti on because Tony will do it. But I had, and I said to Jim, I said, let's talk about the court cases. I said, for the sake of brevity, let's refer to them as the Kessler cases. And he laughed. He goes, yeah, because he's involved in all of them. So let's start with the O'Bannon case. The O'Bannon case was over the EA Sports game. Now, O'Bannon had been out of the game, had been out of pro basketball. He had a 10-year pro basketball career. He had been out of it for, I don't know, 10 years. But he said, look, he says, I'm on the cover of the EA Sports basketball game. I should have received compensation for that. That's the name, image, and likeness part of it. Yeah. And that's the one where Mark Emmert got on the witness stand and handed the case to the plaintiffs on a silver platter. If he had explained to everybody where the money went, he would have had a better shot at it. But of course, he's not capable of that. Instead of saying, hey, look, we take that money and we put the money into women's soccer championship, the women's volleyball championship. Now, Title IX is great, but you have to pay for Title IX. Thus, we have to keep coming up with ways to do it. This was one of the ways to do it. Would they have won the case, Todd? Probably not. But it would have given you a better shot if people understand why you were doing what you were doing. Instead, he got up there and talked about amateurism, the ivory tower, the value of education, scholarships, things like that. And, of course, when you're sitting there and you're talking about things like that, they're like, I mean, judge, if there's a judge, there's always a judge, or should there be a jury? They'll be sitting there going, yeah, and what did you do with the money? That's what they want to know. What did you do with the money? He never explained what they did with the money, right? He started talking about the grand scheme of life and what, you know, and the philosophy of the NCAA. I'm like, nobody's interested in the philosophy of the NCAA. Right? There are people in the NCAA that aren't even even into it. And that's what he did. So, in other words, I mean, I don't even think the O'Bannon people are like, well, I don't think we have to do anything else. You've pretty much done everything we needed. Thanks. And they lost.
The defense rests.
Yeah, we're done. We're done. No, we don't need to call any witnesses. We're good. This guy did everything he could for us. Right? He handed it to him in a silver platter. You can't. The defense of the NCAA is not the ivory tower defense. Tell them where the money goes. Tell them about Title IX. Tell them about the responsibilities of having to pay for everything. I mean, there's going to be a fallacy running around now that, well, now that, you know, women's basketball is doing great in the ratings, it pays for itself. Oh, really? How about no? Okay? These are the realistic conversations that need to be had so that the general public understands what is going on and why. But nobody's willing to have that. They'd rather go with the fallacy of it. I mean, guess which championship lost more money than any other championship this past year? And people are like, oh, it can't be Caitlin Clark. Yeah, it was. It had the highest ratings ever, had higher ratings for its championship game than the men's championship game. But the men's tournament made almost $1 billion. Right? As opposed to the women's tournament that made $65 million and spent it all. It's all gone. Why do you think there are two regionals in women's basketball and not four? I mean, there are four regionals, but they play at two different sites, not four. Because they're trying to save money. Why do you think they play at home courts to start? They're trying to save money. They're trying to keep the losses down. Right? So that's why you talk about, look, we need the money because, you know, Title IX is expensive to fund. There are no women's programs making money. Okay, if there are women's programs making money out there, it's on one hand. All right? That's called a fact of life that is not called being, oh, that's mean. That's what, no. These are called facts. You can either handle the facts or else you're a zealot. No. It's a fact. That's why you explain on a witness stand what the facts are. Hey, we conduct championships. We conduct 64 championships. Hey, all these championships, except for, you know, and they have nothing to do with the college football playoff, all these championships lose money, all of them, except for the men's basketball tournament. Right? So we have to come up with other ways of funding. Right? Are you going to win the case with that? My guess is probably not, because there's an ideology involved here. But wait a minute, aren't the players the product? You see what I'm saying? So he loses the O'Bannon case. All right. Now you get this one. This was three cases rolled into one in the end. Oh, I'm sorry. There was the Alston case. The Alston case was the same thing. He gets on the witness stand. He does the ivory tower defense. And everybody's like, you got to be kidding me. Like, and, of course, in the Alston case, they lose. Now, that was over what you can do and what you can provide to athletes, laptops, iPads, things like that, for their education. Well, when they brought it to the Supreme Court, it loses 9-0.
Okay.
So, in other words, Brett Kavanaugh and Elena Kagan agreed on something. That's not good. Okay? When Vegas sets the odds at +9, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And that's when Justice Kavanaugh wrote, it's the opinion he wrote, not the ruling. The ruling was about something that's simpler than that. But what he wrote in the opinion was, hey, you bring a case about something bigger than this, you're not going to win that one either. You need to change. And that's what spurred the change that we see today. Now there's this case. Three cases rolled into one. Back pay. Okay. Pay moving forward. There's one other case that's still out there, Todd. It's in California. It's Johnson versus, I don't know if it's Johnson versus the state of California. I don't know what it is. Johnson versus, pick a name, Johnson versus the suit.
Is that the USC one?
Yeah. And that's about being an employee. That's still out there. That's a problem. You know, so it does bring some concern with it. The case that was just ruled on does not, or was just settled. It was just settled. Didn't include that one. And remember, Dartmouth has already, its men's basketball players, had the door open to unionization. But guess what? Dartmouth still has not said yes to the union. In fact, I think they're going to fight it.
I was going to say, I haven't heard or seen much on that over the last month or 6 weeks, so...
They won six games. You shouldn't see much about them.
Well, you're not wrong about that.
They're not very good. That's what I mean. Yeah, you want to unionize? Great, you're fired. It's like you're not very... Like, if you're 22-6, all right, we need to talk. You're 6-22, I don't need to talk to you right now. I'm not very happy with you to begin with.
Dartmouth was not one of the programs that sent some guys to the higher levels this in the transfer portal, no.
Oh, there are probably guys that went in the transfer portal and got bypassed. No, yeah. I don't think so. See, it's interesting because we were talking about this on the Spikes broadcast the other night. I know this is a side, this is a tangent here. Kay Climie is on the Spikes. He was the Junior College World Series MVP, won the Kirby Puckett Award. He drove in 17 runs during the tournament, which is one off the tournament record. And Blinn Junior College won it, his JC. And the other night before the game, and the Spikes had won 5 in a row, and he before the game comes up, he says, yeah, Steve, we got to win this game tonight. I think there's great value in guys that play for winning programs, which is what I brought up with Steve Klein yesterday. And I brought up this story with Steve in the interview yesterday, if you recall. And the one of the, I think, tougher things to judge is how truly good is a player on a losing team. Like, for example, Damian Lillard was phenomenal with the Portland Trail Blazers. When he went to the Milwaukee Bucks, they just assumed the Bucks were going to be the odds-on favorite to win the NBA championship. All right. Now, Giannis did get hurt. But it took a long time for Lillard to kind of fit in with what's going on. See, that's why I always gave credit to what the Heat did with LeBron, Bosh, and Wade. Like they have figured out a way to fit in. Now, Bosh is the one that had to really take a back seat to this whole thing. He did, but when they needed a guy like Mario Chalmers, he was really good. Udonis Haslem, he really helped out. But you wonder sometimes with guys who are not in winning programs, who are the best player in the program, you wonder. And I'll give you an example. This past season, Penn State had a player named Raquandus Mitchell. Ray Q's a great kid. 24 years old, he was 17 points a game at UM Kansas City. Well, but he also took the higher percentage of shots, did all the scoring. He had no other options around him. When it came to playing here, it really was tough for him to get into the team concept about what was going on because he was expected to be the team at his last stop. See what I'm talking about? It's hard to judge those guys sometimes.
And I do... You know, and Steve pointed out, I mean, their roster was littered with teams that made deep runs in the PIAA playoffs from around here and from out west.
Right, exactly. And I thought, you know, that was a great point that he made about that, about his own roster. Yeah. I think that's really important. And a big reason why they're from winning programs is them. But being a part of a winning program, to me, usually means that you're somebody who knows how to play nice with others on the same ice floor and field. you know how to play. You know how to play with other people. You understand the culture of it. You're not expected to be the one. So, yeah.
I it's not something I'm used to. I've never been expected to be the one.
Yeah, I gave a speech one time. It was, you get inducted into you get some honors as time goes. So I got an honor, and I said, "Well, I'm the one person up here who's not here because of his athletic prowess." All right, we'll take a break. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. The ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Start your journey today at NILGameChangers.org here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, this half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots and lots of snacks. Six great flavors of slushies. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. How about a group that gets it done? Stock up for the weekend now and starting to stock up for 4th of July. It's going to be a big party. I saw that picture, by the way, of Matt's children staring out longingly at the beach from the hotel glass, realizing that's as close as they're going to get to the water.
I'd like to see the picture from the beach view. Just pressed up against the...
Why won't they let those little kids out? I don't understand. Yeah, we do. We understand. Poor little guys. And why are they wearing those green jerseys? But didn't they know the team moved to Brazil?
At least they're in Wild One. They're with their people. I'm pretty sure that is not the only Jalen Hurts jersey in town.
Yeah. Sure it's not either. Wait till they find out the team's never coming back.
I was just going to say, that's probably a place that still has some Ron Jaworski jerseys.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I wouldn't doubt that. Dan Hurley decides to not go to the Lakers. Right? Now, these are always, I find, the interesting conversations because of what Todd does. I think Todd can give us great perspective on the reporting part of it. And I feel like so often today that when we get to either headlines or stories, they try to treat sports, in my opinion, like it's a soap opera. You don't. You're a reporter. And a darn good one.
Somebody made the joke that we're at the point in the, we've hit the Bayless line in the Caitlin Clark conversation that, you know, you should probably pay $100 now if you have a Caitlin Clark take because they've all been had and they've all been pretty dumb. And I think, honestly, I think it's just, you know, people are, ESPN doesn't report things anymore unless it's on the night sports center. You know, most of that stuff in the morning is filled by this stuff, and then you end up, people report on what the opinions are on ESPN, and that becomes the story, and it turns into a whole thing. I mean, I don't think we're five days into this Caitlin Clark stuff about the Olympic team, and it doesn't seem to ebb. You know, you talk about Danny Hurley going to the Lakers. I think it's very clear. I don't know which one, but Shams Charner or Woj is very close to him because, you know, they were the first ones to know he got the offer. They were the first ones to know he turned it down, and now one of them had earlier today that there's a 6-year, $50 million on the table from UConn. So, you know, at this point, it's not about doing the work yourself. It's about who you know.
But remember, I reported that there was an offer on the table to make him the third highest paid coach in college basketball. I said that last week. Okay? It's, in other words, like, what are the stories being discussed today? And you're right about the morning shows. The morning shows are just about shock value and so forth. And, you know, it's interesting. Who's shocked anymore? I mean, really? Are we shocked by anything anymore?
No, because when everything's treated as shocking, nothing's shocking.
Exactly. Exactly. Well said. That's why, for example, as I mentioned yesterday, why do I take such a conservative take all the time when something like this comes up? Because number one, we don't know the guy. What? 8 years ago when he was at Rhode Island, I talked to him a couple times, right? The general manager of the Lakers when he played at Michigan, I may have talked to him a couple times because he was on the Fab Five teams, and he played in Rec Hall. He played against Penn State. But I don't know these people. Do not know them. So I don't know the ins and outs of whatever. I mean, look, Adrian Wojnarowski, he doesn't know Danny Hurley. Come on.
Well, he did write that book.
Well, but still. You know, come on. Everybody pretends they know everybody. Well, they don't. I don't know. Danny Hurley. Remember, Billy Donovan turned down NBA jobs the first time through. Then finally, eventually, he went to Oklahoma City. But he had chances. Right? Here's another one. Mike Krzyzewski. The Lakers offered him. Hey, look, he thought about it. All right. Well, guess what? In the end, he turned it down. They all have their own reasons. They'll have their own reasons as to why they turn it down. Mike Hopkins, on the other hand, who was let go by Washington, evidently had some head coaching opportunities in Division One, in Division One basketball, and he said no, and he went, he took an NBA assistant's job. Okay. But is everything going to be, now it's like, how the Lakers failed? How'd they fail? What, because the guy decided not to take their offer? All right, you go to the next person.
Can't blame them from swinging for the fences, and just because they miss doesn't mean it's a failure.
Right, exactly. And sometimes they may end up with the person that's the right person for them, for all we know. I don't. We won't know until they start playing. But who the heck was it? I was talking about this guy, successful coach, but he was like the fifth choice for the team. Let me see if I can find this. And I've talked about it before. That's why it bugs me. Was fifth choice. And got job. Who the heck was it? Snubbed by their first choice. Of five candidates to replace John Calipari, blah, 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 blah. The heck? I mean, well, the guy just was not the first choice. Okay? And ended up being the guy that was that ended up being great for them. And you just don't know.
I mean, everybody thought Scott Frost was going to turn around Nebraska when he had that great run at UCF. Everybody thought that was a home run. Nobody panned that one, and that one didn't work out, and it didn't work out fairly quickly.
Right. And it's amazing how it just turns out. Now, I think they were talking about the Edmonton Oilers last night. They've had something like 12 coaches in the last 9 years or something crazy like that. I know who it was. Right? It was Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll was not the first choice at USC. And he's like the fifth choice. Because remember, Carroll had coached the Jets, he had coached the Patriots, and he was just kind of like going along, and he was like the fifth choice. They finally settled on him. Now, he got out of Dodge before the NCAA showed up, but still. Right? But he was like the fifth choice of USC. Other people kept telling him, no, 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 no. Well, they didn't. I mean, USC did not go out and seek Pete Carroll. Again, he was the coach of the Jets, the coach of the Patriots, and was okay. And then he ends up getting the job done there. Recruiting. Did it at a time when there's no pro team in Los Angeles. So they essentially became the pro team.
He's the only one that's really figured it out since John Robinson, isn't he? I mean, they weren't very good before him, and they haven't been all that great since then.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's the part that I think a lot of people don't grasp. You have to be the right fit at the right time for a program. And I'm glad you brought that up, because you look at the history of the great programs. Let's just talk about college for a moment. Okay. Texas, after Darryl Royal, really essentially wandered in the wilderness for decades. Oh, yeah, good. You know. But not top-notch. Good. And then Mack Brown came along. got to the national title game, won it, got to another national title game. Alabama beat him. But then it wasn't good enough anymore. Now, look at all the coaches they went through before they finally got to Steve Sarkisian. They were all the answer. Charlie Strong, he's the answer. Right? Tom Herman, he's the answer. Look what he did at Houston, right? Okay. Look at Alabama. Okay. Bear Bryant. Right? Gene Stallings had success, won a title, but he was older. So everybody knew he was a stopgap. But until they got Nick Saban, what did Alabama do? Between Bear Bryant and Nick Saban, and let's again remember what Gene Stallings won, but he was there a limited time. What did Alabama do?
Not much. Man,
between John McKay, John Robinson, and finally Pete Carroll, what did USC do? And what has USC done since Pete Carroll left? They've had some good years, but even last year with Lincoln Riley, they struggled. Notre Dame, Eric Parsegian, Dan Devine won. They didn't win again until Lou Holtz came in. Then after Lou Holtz left, how well really has Notre Dame done? Okay, Kelly did a good job with them. He got them to, you know, a couple playoffs. That one BCS title game where they got blown out in a playoff. So he did that. But in between, what did they do? You have to have the right person at the right time, the right fit.
Here's another one. Florida's been looking.
Oh, since Spurrier? Oh. Well, since Urban.
Since Urban.
You know, it's interesting. Like, the last championship team that they had 122 players on that team. This is Florida's last national championship. Of the 122 players, 41 have been arrested. Really? Huh. Ohio State has been obviously really good. Really good. But from Woody Hayes, now Earl Bruce did okay. Did well. John Cooper did okay. Then Jim Tressel came in. He won a national title. Then he was forced out. They got in Urban. They won a national title. And then, of course, Ryan Day. Right? Michigan went. Lloyd Carr did a great job with them. But after Lloyd Carr, you know, they tried to figure things out. They tried to figure things out after Bo, before they settled on Lloyd Carr. You have to have the right person at the right time. And this is something that just, for whatever reason, there's no particular reason why. There just isn't. Why does it click for a certain guy at a certain time in a certain place? Right? It clicked for Joe Paterno here. Joe outworked everybody. It clicked for Joe here. Penn State was a very, very good football program for decades. In the 19-teens, they were a dominant program. Right? Obviously, in the late 40s after the war, they had a couple of really great teams. And then Rip had some very good teams. None of them, you know, with talent. Rosie Greer, Lenny Moore, Jesse Arnell. And Rip had very good teams. Well, Rip put a foundation together. Joe then built the mansion. And then when they needed a Bill O'Brien did the job for 2 years. And now James Franklin, who to me, in this era when you need to have this kind of coach, in this era, you need to have a guy like James. And so many guys end up getting fired. And I think that a lot of them, they get fired before they actually have a chance to show what they actually can do. Like, really can do. Now everybody's getting a short leash. 3 years, sometimes 2 years. Because of the transfer portal. Well, you got to be good now. Well, I understand the desire to be good now. Now, maybe I'm somebody that's developed too much patience over the years. Maybe that's the Penn State basketball part of it. Where I've had to be patient. But That's something that a lot of people don't realize. Like, right guy, right time. I think people think that you can throw five names in there. There's the solution. Like, Jed Fish goes to Washington. Is he the solution there? I don't know. Deshaun Foster goes to UCLA. Is he the solution there? I don't know. I'm not sure about Lincoln Riley yet at USC. They've been so poor on defense the last couple of years, and you wonder how much his quarterback led to whatever success he's had that transferred with him. What if he had to start from scratch at quarterback? I don't know. Everybody thinks Sherrone Moore is going to be a huge success at Michigan. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I don't know. And just because, I mean, the big one has been, of course, Kirby Smart. Now, see, you got to go out and get a Kirby Smart. Da, da, da. Well, you know what? There are only a couple of Kirby Smarts out there. And who knows how Kalen DeBoer is going to do at Alabama? I don't know. Man, Todd and I will tell you, like, I don't know. I mean, I'd be a fool to sit here and guarantee that he's going to have success there. You're going to be a fool to say that. I don't know if he is or not. He did a great job at Washington. But he also was at Washington a couple of years. Look, I don't know. He hadn't been anywhere 5 years to let you know how it's going to be. I have no clue. And you don't know how a top assistant is going to be when they take over as the head coach. Dan Lanning has done a terrific job out at Oregon. Top assistant. Kirby Smart's top assistant. But you want the long list of top assistants that haven't worked? The long list. You don't know. That's why, you know, people say, oh, you know, I was out at Newcastle. He said, you're a big James Franklin guy. I said, you're doing right, I am. Because I'm around and I see it every day. You know, I see stuff every day as to what he does, how he goes about his work, how he cares, how he recruits. Right? He's the right guy at the right moment for this program. And I don't mean like this moment. I mean long term. Now let's see how it works out with the college football playoff. Don't know. But yeah, you know, ESPN's, they treat it like a soap opera now. Oh, the Lakers. This is not as the Lakers turn. Okay, guess what? You know, the Lakers won the title in the bubble. But they've been a 7th to 10th place team. How many years in a row now?
Three?
Yeah. They're okay. And that's it. They're okay. Could it be the personnel? Could it be?
Possibly.
Could be. Yeah, could be. Right. Neil Coulong, next half hour. Great to have you with us today here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.